You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
I want to take this message just a little bit farther tonight. Notice Hebrews, the second chapter, verse number one. Notice tonight, Hebrews, the second chapter, verse number one tonight. See, it's good when you allow things to get lodged in your spirit to the point to where you know you're going to hold on to that. That's a good thing. And meditate upon it day and night. One writer even talked about how when you get something lodged in your spirit, that you are not to turn to the left hand nor to the right. Just keep abiding in that. Notice Hebrews 2 and 1. Again, let's look at the primary text that we're using for our subject. Hebrews 2 and 1. Therefore, the Hebrew writer said, we must, again, including himself, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard or to the things that we have been taught, lest we drift away. Y'all see it? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Again, including himself. Let's read it together on three tonight. Y'all ready? One, two, three, read. Therefore,
we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away.
Look at somebody real quick and just tell them, I don't know about you, but on purpose, not to drift away. Okay, so our subject tonight, again, is don't drift away. Take heed to the word. Don't drift away. Take heed to the word. Can you say the subject tonight?
Don't drift away. Take heed to the word.
So one way we're not going to drift away is by taking heed to God's what?
Word.
By taking heed to the word. Let's give God a praise for the subject before we deal with it tonight. Don't drift away. Take heed to the word. Most of the time that people drift away, it is because, or primarily all of the time, is going to be because they're not taking heed to the word. They're hearing the word, but they're allowing what they hear to slip or to go undone. And again, James told us that we need to be hearers, but we can't be hearers only, but that we needed to be doers of the word. We needed to put the word into action. And so, again, when you look at Hebrews, the second chapter, notice that the Hebrew writer is concerned about the people of God giving a more earnest heed to the things that they have heard. He's very concerned about the saints putting into action the word of God, or he's concerned about them obeying or complying with the word or the will of God. Because notice again, he knows if they do not take heed to the word, that a drifting away is going to take place. And I basically gave you three things that it meant to drift away. Number one, again, when you begin to drift away because you're not taking heed to the word, it deals with a person who is in a backslidden condition. Notice that I didn't say they had all the way backslid, but you're in a backslidden condition anytime you're not taking heed to God's word. Like it or not, you're backsliding. You're in a backslidden condition. Why? Because you are not really taking heed to what thus says God or to the voice of God. Now in the church, some of us, we're bad about looking at people and based upon outward sin, we'll say that a person has backslid. Y'all should have got more amen. Y'all know some folk are bad about doing that. If they see a person back to drinking, back to smoking, or hear them cussing or something, that they're quick to say, oh, you done backslid. And hear me tonight, that may be the case. But at the same time, when it comes to a child of God walking in doubt, fear, or unbelief, that is also a backslidden state or condition. Whenever God has made you a promise and you fail to believe God, you are in a backsliding condition. Because we are to live by faith, and we are to walk by faith and not by what? Sight. So anytime I begin to allow sight, which is good, to control me or to dominate me, again, like it or not, I'm in a backsliding condition because I'm really not in the will of God. Or I'm not taking heed to the word of God. Because again, if I take heed to the word tells me to live by what? Faith. The word tells me to trust God despite what I see. The word teaches us to trust God despite what we what? Hear. Even how you what? Feel. You have to learn to trust God even when your feelings are seemingly out of whack. You have to learn to get in the word of God. You have to learn to pray until you begin to feel in the manner that you know you need to feel in reference to the will or the word of God. Is that right? And so we have to be careful because again, when you begin to draw back or you begin to drift away, it is saying about you that you're in a backsliding condition. And some of us didn't like that, but that's the truth. Number two, we found out that drifting away was also from the Hebrew writer standpoint was another expression of a person who was drawing back. Now notice that I want to deal with that a little bit. Notice Hebrews 10. And let's pick it up at verse number 39, because again, one thing that's synonymous with a person drifting away is a person drawing back. And you don't want to draw back in a year of victory. You don't want to draw back when God done told you better here and better what? Coming. That's the wrong time to draw back when God told you, look, better here, better coming. And now you drawing back because of what you seeing. You messing up. You don't need to draw back. You need to just continue to trust God and know that God going to do whatever he told you he would do. Know that if God told you you coming out, you should already count yourself out. Oh, God. I said we should so believe God that when God say you coming out, you should already count yourself out because you know he can't fail. He can't lie. For all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him what? Amen. You got to know that his word will not go out and return unto him what? Void. It will accomplish whatever he sent it to do. It'll prosper. Am I right? Somebody shout, I got to know that. So you can't just know it when all going well. You got to know it when things are seemingly going wrong or going in the opposite direction. You still got to know his word ain't going to return back to him void. He promised me victory. And so I'm going to shout now about the victory. I'm going to dance now about the victory. Ain't got any natural report that things have turned around, but in my heart, in my mind, I know victory belongs to me. Oh, y'all ought to give him a praise tonight. Victory belongs to you. You got to know that. See, when you know it, you ain't going to draw back. Notice Hebrew 10 and 39, but notice what the Hebrew writer also said, but we are not of those who draw back, notice, to perdition. But of those who believe to the saving of the what? So notice when folk draw back, notice what they're drawing back to perdition, which deals with destruction. In other words, when you begin to draw back, you're actually going to perish. A perishing going to take place. Now, a lot of folk don't believe it in the church because when they see somebody draw back, and then they keep their eye on the person and seemingly everything is wonderful with the person. They begin to think within themselves that, well, so and so drew back and they still doing all right. Now you don't know what's going on with that person. You have to be to the point that where you're going to believe the scripture no matter how much a person fronts when he or she sees you. Because how many know when folk draw back and then they see you, yeah, they want you to think all is wonderful. Yeah, they want to smile and tell you they being blessed and this, that, and the other is taking place. But according to the scripture, when I begin to draw back, I'm drawing back into perdition or into a place where perishing going to take place. Hear me tonight, because this is important. In the ultimate state or stage, when people draw back from God, it has to do with eternal damnation. It has to do with hell. Understand that there are people who were once saved but drew back who are never going to get back in right fellowship with God, because it's never as easy to get back from where you fell from as it seemed like it is. Come on. And that's the reason some of us are scared to draw back. We really don't know if we draw back, if we'll ever come back. Good God Almighty. Some of us can't even flirt with the idea of drawing back because we remember how messed up we was. And we really don't know if we cross that line, if we'll ever get a chance to come back to the house of God, give him the praise, the glory, the honor in the manner that we once did. Am I right? Look at somebody and shout, show it right, show it right. I can't even flirt with the ideal. I can't even talk to somebody about do you think you might backslide? Devil is a lie. I ain't got time to think about backsliding. I don't. I can't entertain that thought. And the reason I'm like that again is because I've seen so many people draw back and never regain their relationship with God. Never. But we pray those that have will. You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking that it can't happen. But I want you to know tonight that when it comes to drawing back, that ain't nothing to play with. Because again, you're drawing back to perdition, which again deal with destruction and perishing. Now think about what God himself said in reference to perishing, that it was not his will that any should what? Perish. See, when it comes to God, God don't want nobody to perish. You have to know when it comes to God that God is so good that he don't want to see anybody perish. But he wants all to come to repentance. Why? Because through repentance, we receive salvation, or we receive the divine blessings of God upon our life. But notice what he said again. But we are not of those. So you have to make up in your mind. You have to be purpose that despite what I go through personally, despite the attacks that come against my mind, my body, my finances, that I'm not going to draw back to perdition. Because when I begin to allow myself to drift away, I'm headed for destruction, ruin, or perishing. But notice what he said. But we are of those who believe to the saving of the what? Woo, do you see that? See, if I draw back, ruin gonna take place. But if I choose to believe, a saving gonna take place. Tell that to somebody. Tell them, say, if you choose to believe God, I guarantee you a saving gonna take place. Look back at somebody and tell them, I can't tell you the day or the hour that it'll manifest, but according to the word, I can guarantee you that a saving will take place. Oh Lord, God will show up. God will do what he said. God will bring the promise to pass. God will manifest the victory in the open. God will show up and do every single thing he told you he would do. Yes, he will. A saving gonna take place. Somebody bowing tonight, but I got a word for you, and the word is keep believing, because a saving is gonna take place. A saving gonna take place up in that house. A saving gonna take place with your finances. But I gotta keep on believing. Notice what he says. To those who believe to the saving of the soul. Gotta get that lodged in my spirit. That if I continue to believe, a saving gonna take place. And that's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. I just gotta continue to trust God, and a saving is going to take place. The haters are gonna see it take place. The naysayers are gonna see it take place. Folk that said I never have it gonna see it take place. Folk that said we would never come out gonna see us come out. Oh Lord. Folk. God specializes in saving his people in front of the very folk that tried to stop them. I said he specializes in doing that. And guess what tonight? Some of us know that about God. Some of us can really witness to people, and we can truly tell them that if you keep believing, a saving gonna take place. I've been right there. I've gone through such and such, and I know God is able. Come on, some of us, we just don't seem God is able. We really know that God is able. And we can encourage other folk with our testimony. Am I right? Now, the third thing it means to drift away means that you begin to do contrary to the will of God. When a person is drifting away, he or she is not going to be in compliance with the will or the word of God. They're going to be doing contrary to God's will. In other words, they need a financial blessing, but they're not giving. They know they should give in order to come out. But because they're drifting away, they're not giving the way they need to. Tithing when they feel like. Giving a good offering when they feel like doing it. See, a drifting is taking place. Used to be excited in reference to giving, and now murmur and complain when it's an opportunity to give an offering. I don't care what you try to convince folk about yourself, like it or not, if that's who you are, you drifting away. Because when you're struggling financially, you can't let nobody fool you. Giving is your way out. According to Luke 6:38, Jesus himself said, give and it shall be given. Good what? Press, shaking, and running. See, that's my way out. My way out of financial bondage is to give. But when I hold back, I do so because I'm drifting away and I'm not taking heed to the word. When you're not praying every day, like it or not, you drifting away. When you talking to everybody else about your problem, but you ain't talking to God about your problem, you drifting away. I said, you drifting away. When you getting advice from everybody, but hadn't asked God which way you need to go, like it or not, you drifting away. I don't care how sound, how good the advice may seem to be that they given you, but you drifting away because you are to acknowledge God. And if when you acknowledge God, it lines up with what so-and-so said, okay. But if it don't, okay also. Oh, Lord, it's even okay when God tells me to stand still and give him the praise and don't do nothing. Guess what? If I begin to move out of being anxious, I'm drifting away. Because I'm doing contrary to the will of God. When you're not loving everybody, but you are picking and choosing who to treat right. That's not of God. Now you may speak in tongue more than anybody in the church, but if you got folk that you ain't treating right, like it or not, them tongues are not of God because you drifting away. And folks speak in tongues and drifting away. Got a revelation from God, but drifting away. This some good teaching because it will allow you to know when you drifting away. It'll allow you to know when you know, man, I ain't thinking right, I'm not talking right, and I'm not doing right in reference to the will of God. I'm drifting away. What I need to do, pal? I need to take heed to the word. And the last thing it has to do with is that when you begin to drift away, you are no longer God conscious. You don't know the voice of God. You can't discern the voice of God. Now when you're in this stage, to me, you're in a dangerous place. When you don't know God's voice from the voice of a stranger. Because notice what Jesus said in the gospel. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He said, and a stranger, they will not follow. See, when you lose your God consciousness, God can be speaking directly to you, but you don't perceive what's being said as coming from God. Sitting right up in the church, hearing what is your rhema, but not grabbing hold to it because of a number of things. Like it or not, you drifting. You drifting. We have to stay God conscious. Come on, somebody. We have to. In order to hear God and know his voice from the voice of a stranger. But when you begin to drift away, folk tell you they praying, but I don't know. I can't understand God. I don't know if it's God talking to me or if this flesh or of this demons. That's a bad place to be. Come on, somebody. That's a operating off of instructions that you don't know whether or not they came from God or they are demonic. And this is where you have so many people doing things in our day and time, saying to people God told them to do it, when in actuality God hadn't even spoke to the person. But because they're drifting away, they perceive a voice to be of God when it's not of God. Ooh, tell you, neighbor, that's where you have to be careful where you go and who you hang with. So you tell your neighbor, so you don't get messed up like our sister Eve did. Okay? But notice tonight, what I really want to deal with tonight is that, again, notice in Hebrews 10:39, he said, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. You see how important it is to believe? When you believe actually equates salvation. Because to believe is to be saved. Woo! Then Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if thou can't believe, somebody said it already, all things are possible to them that what? Believe. See how powerful believing is? When I believe, I enter into a realm where anything possible. He ain't gonna ever be no millionaire. Watch your mouth. I'm entering into that realm where all things are possible. She'll never be healed. Watch out. She in that realm where all things are possible. When you enter into that realm, you could be in an apartment tonight, and before the year end, you could own 3 or 4 houses, just because with him, all things are possible to them that what? To them that what? To them that what? To them that what? Teen that believing is important. It opens up the door for you to see what your eyes have never seen, to hear what your ears have never heard. All things are possible to them that believe. And then I'm going to drift away? No. No. That means your situation can be past due. And God can be looking at you saying, I'm so glad you kept giving me the praise. I let it get past due, but now I'm finna bless you, and it's gonna make folk mouth fly wide open. I'm purposed to give you your heart desire, despite your credit, despite the amount of money you have. Good God Almighty, somebody, this is your word up in the house. Somebody finna get something finna be released to somebody, not based upon what you have, but based upon your faith. You better give him a praise for that. He about to release something based upon somebody's faith. Be seated. Be seated. Now listen, when it comes to salvation, understand man can give salvation. But man's salvation is limited. It's limited. Remember what I told you, salvation is threefold. Deliverance, what? And what? Salvation is threefold. It's first of all, it's also, and it's also, can man deliver? No, yes, man can. But it's limited. You can be in something tonight and man can help you out of it. What did he do? He granted you some deliverance. But it's limited. Can man protect? Yes, but his protection is what? Limited. Can man bless? Yes, but is it limited? Yes. Watch, because I'm finna go somewhere tonight, and I don't want to lose you. But when it come to God, you have to refer to God's salvation as being divine. So it's divine deliverance. Is divine protection. Is divine prosperity. Divine means it's of God. It's directly connected to God. And his salvation is so divine that sometimes it can't be explained with human words. How many of you ever had a saving to take place in your life and folk didn't believe you because you really couldn't explain it right? You in the end, you just say, look, believe me, God did it. God did. I'm telling you, God, I don't know it. And they keep asking questions, well, how did you, look, I'm telling you, God did it. There are some doors God will open for you. You going to have a hard time explaining how it popped open. It's divine. It's unlimited. It deals with God as being an unlimited God. But watch, also being an all-powerful God. When I tell y'all I'm about to go somewhere. See, when God grants deliverance, protection, and prosperity, nobody can stop him. Listen, so when God say it's time for you to be delivered, who can stop him? When God says he got a hedge of protection around you, who can get to you? And when God say it's time for you to prosper, who can stop him? Who? Who? Hold on. He did it for Israel back in Exodus. He granted them divine deliverance, divine protection, and divine prosperity. But they had to contend with the Pharaoh. Before you get certain breakthroughs, you got to contend with Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not a man, but a title. The title Pharaoh is prescribed to a person who feels they are God, and that their word is the final say. Oh, Lord. Somebody shout, preach on Pharaoh. Shout it like you mean. Say, Pastor, preach on Pharaoh. See, some of us are contending with him. Look at Exodus, the 5th chapter. I got to talk about Pharaoh for a few minutes. Because too often we familiar with the Old Testament Pharaoh and we can't recognize the modern day Pharaoh. When God tell you to go get you a car, you show up at the lot with no money. Credit shaky. But God sent you. But you got to talk to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh telling you to come back in a year and a half. Because Pharaoh think he owned the lot. When God sent Moses down into Egypt and had one word for Pharaoh, let my people go. Time for them to get some deliverance, some protection, and some prosperity. Notice in Exodus the 5th chapter, Pharaoh's response. Because some of us don't do well when we deal with Pharaohs. We come back talking about it. I went. What happened? Did y'all get the house? They said no. And it just ain't that folk come back saying they said no. They come back depressed over no. Because I can't tell you how many times I got told no. And in the early days, it depressed me. But in the latter days, it fired me up. Yes, it did. It fired me up. Yeah, back in the early days when we went to possess things and were told no, it shook us. And we left saying stuff like, why didn't God show up? Where was he at? But in the latter days, I knew it had to happen. I said, I knew it had to happen. Watch what happened in Exodus 5:1. Y'all better hang in here. After what Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. They need to serve me. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let his people go. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you have to deal with people that don't know the law.
tell your neighbor, when God says yes and man say no, that man don't know the law. Pharaohs are at banks. Deny God's people they dream house. Pharaoh is over hospitals. Denying God's people healing. Some of you don't have certain things right now. Not because it's not the desire of God. You are just not contending with Pharaoh right. You are allowing what Pharaoh say to you to poison or to taint your mind. Pharaoh tell you, you out of place. Who you think you are? You can't afford that. You can't do that. You can't have that. You ain't getting no degree. You ain't passing no test. Who you think you is? Look at him again. Verse number 2. That bold right here. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let my slaves go? See, sometimes the folk that enslave people don't want to let them. I want to let it go. I know you do, but it don't want to let you go. And you got to understand that. That when you break away from certain things and certain people, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know where your salvation is coming from. You have to know the source of your salvation when you break in. See, some of us, when it comes to poverty, you breaking loose. You ain't always where God want you, but your mindset is not stuck the way it used to be, because that's the reason you looking at things now that in time past you never would have looked at. You break it loose. And you angry Pharaoh when you break loose and then try to enjoy life when he been dominating you for so long. We know too much about the Old Testament and not enough about our own bondage. Whenever you really break it loose from something, I don't care if it's a person or a thing, expect pain. See, some of them want to break loose and just feel so good. Like, oh, that was just. No, when you breaking loose, there's a tearing that's taking place. There's a rending that's taking place. And there's pain that's got to take place. When a baby break loose from his mama, there's pain there to show the mama that separation is taking place. But as soon as the baby come forth, she got joy that she delivered the child. Tell your neighbor, you're experiencing pain right now. But get ready for joy. Get ready for joy. Get ready for joy. Get ready. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6. The Lord changes not. The same way he dealt with Pharaoh in Exodus, he will likewise today deal with these modern Pharaohs. Hold on. If you know from whence come your salvation, you just got to know where your deliverance is coming from. You got to know where your protection is coming from. And you got to know from whence your prosperity is coming from. I'm talking good tonight. Death and life in the power of what? He that loveth will eat the fruit what? See, no way say because I'm closed. And to him who orders his conversation aright. See, if I order my conversation, And I actually begin to talk like God to the point to where I begin to sound like God. Where I begin to sound, you begin to sound like your pastor. See, sometimes folks ought to accuse you. You talk just like the pastor. You sound just like Pastor Cochran when you say it such and such and such. And he sound like Bishop Walker. Well, it sound to me like somebody is ordering their conversation aright. Because notice what God promised if you will order your conversation aright. He said, I'll show you the salvation of God. How did God order his conversation in Genesis 1? He spoke what he desired to see. He said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. Don't you think sometimes he tells us, he gives us divine permission to speak what we desire to see. To speak what we want to see happen. And when he gives it to us through the house prophet, telling the people to speak it. Some of you won't say nothing. You won't open up your mouth because you feel oppressed. And that's what demons do. They come to sit on you so you don't open up your mouth. Sit on you so you don't go where God told you to go. But tell your neighbor, we're getting it right tonight. Tell your neighbor, from now on, you got to take heed to the word so you don't drift away. Oh, look at somebody else and tell them, from now on, take heed to the word so you won't drift away. Look at somebody else and tell them, say, I hope you take heed to the word, because I would hate to see you drift away. Amen. I'm done.